I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as you do. Just want to remind you again that I think people will be actually gathering by the courthouse around 11:30, quarter to 12, getting positioned. There'll be worship music from 11:30, and going to have a great day of praying for our nation tomorrow, and thank you for that. Thanks for your patience in our lobby. So you can get a little color up on the walls. It's not the final color, but it's a primer up there now, and we're getting them repaired. Thank you for your giving. I'm just so excited about the look and welcome that our front door is going to be to people we're trying to reach, and also able to get rid of damage under the wallpaper from moisture and all those things over the years. So it's just been good. Thank you for your giving, and thank you for your patience. We're going to start tiling on Monday, and slowly over the next month, it'll unfold there. We're coming into our year of missions next year, where we're going to be given to building projects around the world and just partnering with people all over the globe to reach and train leaders and to build his church. We're pretty excited about that around here, and reaching people locally, reaching people around the world. We are walking verse by verse through the book of Hebrews, and we're up to verse 29 of Hebrews chapter 11. We just finished Moses. We took 2 weeks to look at the seven verses or so that deal with five aspects of faith in Moses' life. Now we pick it up. This is something that happens under Moses' leadership in verse 29, but it doesn't actually mention Moses in the story. And I don't know if the biblical writer is being a little generous here or not, but he sort of attributes faith. Well, it probably was faith really centered in Moses' life, but he kind of attributes the faith to all the people of God. Moses was leading them out of Egypt. And he says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So here is the great Exodus. This is the great Exodus. This is the amazing moment when God took a sea and parted it. Someone said, well, that's no great thing. The Red Sea is only four inches deep. And this kid kind of came home enthusiastic about hearing this in Sunday school, and his dad was trying to poo-poo it and said, oh, that's no big miracle. It's only 4 inches deep. He said, well, that makes me even more excited because God drowned all Pharaoh's army in 4 inches of water. However you want to look at that story, skeptical or not, you come out with one conclusion. This was an amazing. This was the largest jailbreak in all of history. And God took, I mean, even if it was only 4 inches, the fact that he could take a water-laden sea and turn it in overnight into dry ground and then drown Pharaoh's armies. Well, we know it's much deeper than 4 inches. God just parted the waters. He made the ground dry. He made a way. I'll tell you, God can make a way through the most impossible places. His hand is powerful. He can stop whatever is coming. He can dry the land in front of you. He can always make a way for your feet. And when the enemy tried to do it, all that water came back and they were washed over. I love the contrast. People of faith and people not of faith. And there comes a moment in the big picture in the end when the people of faith are going to end this life with their feet on firm ground. And the people not of faith are going to find that everything that seems so firm is their God alternatives in this world. We're nothing but it's nothing but an illusion, nothing but quicksand under their feet. So this is a great testament to faith that makes a way for people of faith. This is encouraging. This is the God who we never give up on, who we constantly trust, because he is able to make a way for you. He's able to make a way for me in the midst of the impossibilities. He's able to make a way for Central Assembly. He's able to make a way for his church in America. He's able to make a way for his church in Cuba. He's able to do whatever is needed. This God has the capacity to do it. And it's by faith that they entered into this miracle. And then that was the miracle of the Exodus. I call this next one the miracle of the entrance. For we fast forward 40 years, just like that, and we get to the next verse. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Moses is no longer with them. This is a generation later. And they cross the Jordan River, which also had the waters part. And they're here, their first challenge. They are now entering into the promised land. They had exited out, the exodus, out of the place of slavery. We call that deliverance. And they were now entering into the land of promise. That's called inheritance. Our salvation is like a two-sided coin. One side is deliverance. The other side is inheritance. Or as the writer Moses said in Deuteronomy, he brought us out that he may take us in. He brought us out of sin so that he may bring us into the kingdom of his Son and his glorious light. He brings us out, deliverance, in order that he may bring us in, take us in. That's inheritance. And so back to back are these two great verses that are the very heart of everything that's been done in Jesus for us. Deliverance, he brought us out. He made it. He made the land dry and he brought them through the Red Sea. He delivered them from slavery. And then he brought them in. This great city with the huge thick walls. And they walked around it and they did things that normally you would never do if you're going to attack a city and bring down walls like that. And God did it by his own hand, by faith. I'll tell you, by faith, he can make a way for you out of the place that you're bound in. Thank you, James, for that great story about being delivered from smoking. He can make a way for you from whatever is standing in the way. But he's also got the ability to take you into his promise. That destiny, that promise, that vision he's given you. Faith always locks onto that, not what's seen. What's seen are huge walls that don't move on their own. What's unseen is a God who brings us in and gives us inheritance and makes everything in the way collapse. So this is deliverance and inheritance back to back, all accessed by our faith. And all what we realize in Christ, just even by virtue of being saved, we're delivered from the domain of the enemy and from sin. And we have before us, we're in process of someday when we die or Jesus comes again, of entering the full inheritance that we're beginning to participate in right now. And then the story of grace, to wrap it up in the next verse. The story of grace, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. This time we did not fast forward another 40 years between the previous verse and this verse. Verse 29 and verse 30 are 40 years apart. But now verse 31 and verse 30 are the same event. Because you know the story, how Rahab had hidden the spies, the two spies, when they spied out the land earlier. And spied out Jericho in particular. And the spies said, you will be saved and your family if your whole family is in this house in the wall and you have a scarlet cord hanging out the window. And if you meet those two conditions, your whole family is here and the scarlet cord, then everyone in your family will be saved. And the walls collapsed, but that part of the wall was preserved and her family was preserved. It's a marvelous picture of the work of grace, of the God working who brings us out and takes us in. It's the God who starts with the scarlet cord of the blood of Jesus and the mercy of God, who says judgment. Yeah, I mean, she was a prostitute. She deserved judgment as much as anybody. But she exercised faith. She had the fear of God. She talked about how in terror her whole city was. But she had the audacity of faith to ask these two spies that grace would be shown to her. I mean, there was not, it's not that she was less sinful than everybody. She was a town prostitute. But this is the great story of grace. God has a starting point with every one of us. And that starting point is not found in our track record. That starting point is found on a tree on Calvary's Hill and blood flowing down from it and covering us. And he said, if you look there and receive of my grace by faith, you can be forgiven. You can be free. You can enter into deliverance from and inheritance to. This is I think those are three remarkable verses to have back to back. They kind of condense the whole story of God and his whole purpose in our lives. I want to tell you, if you're needing deliverance, I just want you to have faith tonight. He can set free. If you're feeling stuck right now and you're not sure what the next step is, you don't know how to make the next step, God's going to dry some land right in front of you and at least take the step and trust him. He's that kind of God. That's the work of faith. We've seen it in the patriarchs like Abraham, who didn't know where he was going, but God said go, so at least he put one foot in front of another and headed out. That's going where you don't know where you're going to end up, but that's the way of faith. God's taking all of us. His story is always one of us, of taking us from where we are, taking us out from where we are. And where you are may have been good for a while, but you know, it's Usually he leaves us nowhere permanently. I've been talking to older saints lately and hearing their stories, and they're either telling me temptation's getting worse or God's not letting the trials up in my life. And it's just like he never leaves us where we are. He's always in the process of taking us another step. He's always drying something up in front of us and making a way. And he knows how to take us the next step. I've had times where I prayed, Lord, I don't know how to love you more. I don't know how to go deeper in you. And I found the Lord is very good at knowing the answer to that when I don't. And he just said, you trust me. And if you yield, and if you hunger to go farther, I know how to dry the land. I know how to make a way for you to leave where you are and go to the next place and enter in to the next victory that I have for you. This is the God who helps us to walk that way by faith. But all of it, bottom line, is because he loves us, because he's given us grace, and because Jesus is the one who we put at the center of our lives. This is basic Bible. This is basic walking in the Spirit. But it's not complicated. It's always, spiritual growth is always a process of coming out of where we are, the good and the bad, and coming in to the next place he wants us to be. It's always that cycle of deliverance and inheritance. And yet underlying it all is the sheer grace of God, which means no step we take we deserve. But every step we take is because of his amazing, sheer, unadulterated grace. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions. Verse 34, they quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, and women received back their dead, raised to life again. I want to tell you that God we access by faith can do all that. He's the God who dries up seas and topples thick walls of impenetrable cities, that we may come out and go in. That's the kind of God who does all these things. However, and it's interesting, in our Bible, it's not even a verse break, but still talking about the same faith. I call this the other side of faith. Others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. I dare say it takes as much faith to turn back an invading army than it does to be under excruciating pain and know you could be out of it in a moment if you chose to not have faith. But faith caused them to pay the price for whatever it was to stay loyal to God. Sometimes faith pushes back the enemy. Sometimes faith gives you when the persecution is hot and you're paying a price to obey him and it's not letting up. Sometimes faith causes you not just to overcome, but it causes you to endure. I want to tell you, that's just as much a quality of faith as faith that turns back the enemy. I hear faith preachers say if Paul had the revelation we now have about faith, he would have never been whipped, he would never have been stoned, he would never have been in prison, because we believe that true faith only turns back the enemy. He could have had authority over his Roman persecutors and his Jewish persecutors. And I want to tell you, that is almost blasphemy. You know what? Part of faith, here's what faith will do. It'll give you a great victory, but it'll also cause you to hang in there. When the issue is not a miracle, but the issue is maturity, or the issue is nothing more than the spiritual battle at hand. And so it says there, he says others were tortured, middle of verse 35, refused to be released, so they may gain a better resurrection. Rather than renounce their faith in God, they held for that better resurrection. That's what their faith. Their faith saw past their present pain to the triumph of that ultimate inheritance, that better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. That's God's assessment of people of faith who seem to lose everything, but they don't give up, and the world's not worthy of them. You get excited reading up into the middle of verse 35, culminating with women receive back their dead, raised to life again. And you start getting depressed from the second half of verse 35 on. And others were tortured, and others were sawn in half, and others lost everything. But to that class of faith, the God who at the bottom of it is working by his grace in us, he says the world's not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, even though none of them yet received what had been promised, because Jesus, the Messiah, had not yet come. But verse 40, that God planned something better, who? For us. Say that word, for us. You see, the whole target of deliverance inheritance, the whole story of the grace that Rahab experienced, was ultimately, that faith came, even though ultimately they didn't receive what we have. And that's all of this fulfillment of God's purpose centered in Jesus. But he said, God planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And that brings us right back to nobody but Jesus. That's why in the next few verses he'll say, so let's lay off the weight that so easily besets us. Let's run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our, what? Faith. Hallelujah. He's building us in faith, amen? He's taking us out and he's bringing us in. And the grace of Jesus, whether some days demons flee or they seem to beat you up and get the upper hand in this battle, you know what? Faith will cause us to overcome because our triumph is in Jesus and his grace. Will you stand with me? Just want to pray for you tonight. Lord, we pray that your grace will come to all of us. I pray you'll give some in this room great grace, Lord. There's great victory. There's city walls to fall. There's enemy armies to turn back in the spiritual realm. And Lord, you're going to give, Lord, incredible, miraculous victories. Let our faith not lag behind. Let us see the inheritance of your triumph, even as we pray that scripture at the beginning of our service, we will live to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Thank you for triumph and overcoming faith. And others, Lord, who are going through trials tonight and wonder where you've been. And Lord, I pray you'll give them faith to stay faithful. I pray you'll give them faith that'll endure, faith that'll make them people of whom this world is not worthy. Help them to pay the price, Lord, that you would ask to serve you and to stay faithful to you. And above it all, may we just love Jesus, Lord. We just love you, Jesus. We just ask for your grace. We felt your presence strongly tonight among us. And we just want to say we love you, Jesus. We thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you that you are what all the faith of these faith heroes points to. You, Lord Jesus, crucified, buried, and risen again, King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's your grace that has touched our lives. And it's your grace that's brought us out. And it's your grace that's taking us in. And Lord, let our faith, whether we're in periods of victory or just endurance, let our faith not flag or fail, but let our eyes be upon you. Let us love you more than we ever have before. Hallelujah, hallelujah.